His name is Jesus. He is the one that healed the brokenhearted. He is the one that healed those who were bleeding, those who needed sight. He's the one that healed all those people that were around him, and he helped the crowd. He taught the crowd. He was teaching. He was preaching. He also was the one who walked on the water. He was the one that calmed the storm. He's the one that came upon the cross, went through the Garden of Gethsemane. He went through, died upon the cross, died, rose again on the third day, walked around on the earth for 40 days, showing himself, and went up to the Father, sitting next to the Father, interceding for you and I. But before all of that happened, you know, before all of it could happen, Jesus came to a moment where God thought this is what needs to happen. He was going to go through a time of testing. I think sometimes we as Christians think we can just go right through this world as a Christian without any times of testing. And every time we have a testing, we always want to get upset with someone or upset, but sometimes it's right where God wants you to be, in a place where He's going to see what you're made of. He's going to look and see that the things that you say, you actually do. What you believe, you let come in front of you. So we're going to look at this moment here in time when nobody else was around. Jesus was there. God was there watching. But also Lucifer was there. There's a battle that's going on, and it's for you and I. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew. That's where we're going to be today, in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Sometimes after something that happens so great in your life, all of a sudden we find ourselves not so much in that great spot, but we find ourselves in a different place. Jesus had been baptized. It's a great moment for him. It's a great moment for mankind. Definitely a great moment for John the Baptist. Thought he was unworthy to do it. We're all unworthy to do anything for God, but God uses his grace and mercy to allow us to do these things. But there comes a place, there's a spot here that is in Scripture that there is a battle that's going on, and it's a battle on who you're going to be with, who you're going to side with, what you're going to do under the pressure. You see, today, a lot of people are under pressure today. This church should be packed every Sunday. Every church that preaches the name of Jesus, the true Jesus, not this other stuff, but the one and only Jesus, every one of those should be packed. Not because they got the best gym or the best basketball program or the best youth program or the best children's program, but because believers are supposed to assemble themselves together before a holy God, and we get there and we do it in fellowship and we do it in unity for God. But today, many of them had failed this test. They fail it every week. They fail this test every single week. But here we see Jesus. He shows us by example. But I want to tell you, a lot of us read this scripture here about Jesus going through this time of testing, and we think it was easy because it was Jesus. We think it was easy. I want to tell you just for a moment here that all the other times we see after Jesus is, we see all these other things where Jesus was going through the crowds and into towns, and he puts his foot on the shore, and it always seemed like a demon was around and would always confess, "You're the Son of God, you're the Son of God." But this moment here, Lucifer came himself. And he didn't say, "You're the Son of God." We'll see what happens here. It says in verse 1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Now, we know right here that he's hitting this physical fleshly need. There's a physical fleshly need that he has right now, that he needs that food. He's hungry. I'm telling you, some of you went through that fast. Some of you went 2 days, 1 day. Some of you went 3, 4, 5 days. I didn't hear anybody go 7, but 5 days was like the top. Some of you guys, and you know what it's like to be hungry. And here we see this after, and there he is, these 40 days. Here it is, the devil came to him. And he comes to him and he says this. He didn't say, "You are the Son of God." He says, "If you are the Son of God." Satan is always trying to put a doubt in your mind. Always trying to put a doubt in your mind. And we need to know what is real. Always go back to what is real. What is truth? He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones that they may become bread. What he is doing, what is Satan trying to do right here? What he is trying to do is to get Jesus to make a decision outside of the will of God. He's trying to get him to separate from the Father. Of course, he's hungry. Now, you're going to think you're going to think it's kind of funny when I tell you, but you can change stones into bread. And what I mean by that, there are some things in your power that you can change in your life because you have that power. If you're a CEO, you're a boss, you can make decisions that nobody else can make. You have the power to do that. If you work where you're at and you're in charge, you can make decisions that nobody else can make. You can do something right there. And when you do them outside of the will of God, you're doing this. You're taking control. We do that, but in our life as a Christian, we're not the CEO. And what we want to do is we want to start taking over. And this is what Satan does with us all the time. He gets to say, you can fix that. You notice that Satan didn't challenge him to do something he couldn't do. He challenged him to do something that he could do. To separate his relationship with the Father. And this is why some of you struggle in your walk with the Lord. You're still trying to lead Jesus and put him behind you. And you're trying to lead him into your plan instead of you following his plan. And we see this happening over and over and over. This is why our faithfulness to the Lord is not strong. And it needs to be strong. There's a time of testing. And some of us have been in this time of testing for years. Because we just keep turning stones into bread. And God's not going to use us until we get broken like a wild horse. If we get broken and the Lord can ride us. And so what is this? This is a temptation of who's going to be in control. Who's going to control my decisions? Who's going to control the things that I do? And we see that he does that. He says, if you are the Son of God, throws doubt out there, tries to put doubt out there, and he turns around and then he says, I command these stones to become bread. You can do that. Of course he can do that. But Jesus has a response to that, just as we do. Our response is not to change those into bread, but does Jesus do that in the future? Does not Jesus expand the thing that he had with a basket and make more and more bread and more fish? Yes, there are places when you do it in God's will that is a blessing, but when you do it out of God's will, it is a sin. We sin more than we think, folks. Don't you sit there and think you don't, because God has a plan for you. And when you're outside of that plan and you keep doing your thing, I think that's sinning. We sit there, we think we got it all together, and we don't. And then Jesus responds, he says, but he answered it, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We don't live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, from the word of God. He says, I follow the word. I follow the Lord, what he tells me. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew he was going into a time of testing. If you really look at the order of things for Jesus, it is amazing. It is amazing the order of his life. And I look at our life and I'm like, wow, look at ours. Why is ours so like bumpy and just in and out? We're into the Lord. We're out of the Lord. We're in. We're out. Because we keep trying to be in control. And I want to say it this way. If your way was working, you wouldn't be in some of the messes you're in. Your way don't work. My way doesn't work. But when we follow the will of the Lord, and what does that mean? That means you have to give up control. Americans are control fanatics. We're control. We like to control everything. But the Lord is the one who needs to be in control. But he doesn't stop there. Satan doesn't stop there. He says, okay, all right. Verse 5, then the devil took him up unto the holy city to set him on the pinnacle of the temple. That's the highest point. That's that spiral spot. Now, at those days, just remember, there's no crosses at those days. Okay, there's no crosses at that, but the pinnacle, the highest point on the temple, okay? And he said to him, he says, if you are the Son of God, trying to throw continuous doubt. If you are the Son of God, he says, if you are the Son of God, Throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. Now Satan's beginning to use scripture. And in the hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here we see this time. Now we see this thing twisting and changing. Okay? So this first temptation was all about control. Who's going to be in control? This one here is all about this thing called, we call pride. Okay? It's always been said that if you do anything outside of God's will, then it's pride that comes up. Satan's beginning to test Jesus to be able to, he's wanting him to test God. We don't test God. He's wanting him to test God. He's wanting him for us to make those big leaps sometimes when we're not supposed to take those big leaps, to make those big steps when we're not supposed to at those times. There's times when you make those big leaps, but you need to do them when God's called you to. There's those times we are not to be testing God. This is all about lifting Jesus up and not the Father. It's all about who is in control. It's all about that. And I think sometimes we have tested the Lord. I thank God for his mercy and grace that he is patient. We get those redos and we get a redos. But in this moment here, this thing where he puts him on the top of the temple, and this is where Jesus was always found. You know, we found him when he was 12 years old. He's in there. He's in the temple. This is a place of where he's familiar with. He's put up on that place. He puts him on there. Wow, this is a great place to be. Maybe you might want to shortcut this thing. Just jump off and all this stuff can end. And you know the angels are going to come down and swoop down and pick you up, and your foot's not even going to touch the ground. This is sometimes where we want to see a miracle happen, but it's not time yet. It's not the right miracle. We want these things to happen in our life. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, verse 7, it is written to you, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. We are not to tempt the Lord. We don't do that. We're not supposed to do that. This is number 3, the one I want to work with here a little bit. And again, the devil took him up on exceedingly to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you. I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Now that snake oil salesman has now arrived. He wants to offer him something that he cannot provide. He doesn't have authority to give all these kingdoms away. I thought God was in charge of all the kingdoms. Let's quit putting Satan in the same level as God. Okay, Satan is the prince of the air, but he is not over all the kingdoms of the world. God knows and has all of those. But he's challenging him here. He says, I want you to bow down to me, and you'll worship me, and I'm going to give you all these kingdoms. Now there comes a part here, now it becomes idolatry. It's when you worship something besides God. It's when you worship this object and this peace. And I want to share with you that Satan is trying to do this. He's trying to get him because do you know that Jesus was before his birth? He was already in heaven. So you think that this is familiar to him? I think so. But I think here's the piece. If we was preaching this message in India today, this would be a big piece because there's a lot of idols still going on in India. But we're in America. And that idol is so close, more than you would think it'd be. That idol that we serve, it's in the mirror. It's in the mirror. We worship ourselves. We serve ourselves. We honor ourselves. We give to ourselves. And we give Jesus, if we say we're believers, many of us give him scraps. We give him scraps from our table. And here we need not, this is an area that we fail in. This is an area that we sin and we get so pompous on who we think that we are. We're no more important than anyone else. We think because we're Americans, we're more important than everybody else in the world. I thought Jesus died for everyone. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God with those from China and those from Russia and all of them. Those who are believers, we're a family together. But we in America still think that we're better than everybody else in the world. I'm telling you something. America can fall whenever God decides it's time to fall. And there's no election, there's no president, there's not enough money, because if you think there's enough money, God can change that money currency in a moment. It's called a one currency for the world. Everything we have, you need to understand, everything you have, if you're a believer today, belongs to God. We want to give him our heart, but we want to control our pockets. We want to give him our heart, but we want to control the steering wheel. We want to give him our heart, but everything else we think that really matters. We want to give him everything else. Everything. We want to be so in control of everything. And this was a testing for Jesus. Jesus, who is going to be in control when we step out into ministry? He's getting ready to step into a ministry that's going to be more amazing than anything else the world, anything the world will ever know. It's getting ready to happen. But God says there's a moment that he's got to go through this time. I don't understand it, but he's got to go through this time. Who's going to be in control? God is going to be in control. Not changing no stones into bread. I'm not going to be put up on the pinnacle of the temple. I'm not going to be put up on the pinnacle of the temple, because that's not the temple I'm a part of. The temple's bigger than that. And this piece here where he says, you can have all these kingdoms. Satan's trying to give you a kingdom that he cannot deliver. He's offering you things that he cannot deliver. He continues to do this all the time. But Jesus does this amazing piece. He puts his trust in the Father. He puts his trust in Jesus. Jesus puts his trust in the Father. And we see, when it comes down to this piece here, he's getting ready to be done. He's getting ready to be done with these. And so what we see here, it says this in verse 9. And he said to him, all these things I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Now I think some of us are failing at that spot. We're beginning to worship the idol of ourselves. Some of you right now, I can feel, are saying, you don't know. Listen, where do you spend your time at? Okay, we all have a job. Let's put the job thing aside. Where do you put your time? You spend more money on TV? More time on TV? You know, we have a Wednesday night service. Oof, that's a good one. Sunday night service, that's a good one. Yeah, I might step on toes today. I don't care. Because I'm telling you, one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account of your life. And if all you've got to say is, I know every episode of Seinfeld, I'm telling you, that's a big loss. You've wasted a life. You've wasted a life. That a life is a gift that God gives to you. It's your life to live. It's your choices to make. You can either choose it to live the way you want and you'll be accountable. You can choose it the way God has called you out, and you'll still be accountable. But I'd rather be on this side than that side. Your life matters. It matters to God. It matters to this world. You are not a waste of space. God knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. You are important to him. And he has more faith in you than you do yourself. We need to stop listening to the voices in our head and start listening to the voice in ourselves, which is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that rests not here, but in this spirit, inside this sinner's soul, the sinner of you. This is what got Jesus through this time of testing, because the stomach says, turn those stones into bread. The pinnacle of the temple says, wow, I'll throw myself out, because you know what, this is just too hard. So my mind comprehends it and says, hey, I need help. But this last one is the heart piece. Oh, I love my. This is where your emotions and your heart is. What is the beating part of your heart? And Satan says, if you do it, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And Satan is still pulling these off. But for you, he may not be pulling off, telling you to turn stones into bread. But he's telling you to turn something and to fix something that's within your power. But it's not the thing to do. And Jesus says, then he said unto him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. All three times Jesus uses scripture. How are you getting through your times of temptation and your time of testing if you don't know one scripture? I don't understand. We have to be into the Word of God. It is our food. It is our spiritual food. And I need to eat from it on a daily basis, because it makes me strong. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, right? I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Creator and the Maker of heaven and earth. Do not go weary in doing good, for in due time you shall reap a harvest. Cast all your anxieties before Him because He cares for you. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, because when you begin to understand that these words, listen, these are just not words in a book. When you begin to know these and you begin to live in, they become an experience. I can experience, cast all your anxieties before Him because He cares for you. I can experience, I have experienced that scripture in my life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I've experienced some of that as well. And God is right there. But through all this time of testing, through all the stuff that Jesus went through, there wasn't a buddy. There wasn't a set of disciples. This was about Him. Who's Jesus? When He comes out of this, He's going to be ready for ministry. And the next thing we know, He shoots right into ministry. No. Here's what happened. He's getting ready to go right into the ministry. But there's this little verse that I just love. Here's what it says. I can find it. Because it's a little verse. Here it is, yeah. Verse 11. Then the devil left him. You know, if you resist the devil, the what? He must flee, right? What do you think just happened? Jesus experienced in that scripture was going to be written for you, right? Scripture is power. There's power in scripture. But it's this next little piece. And behold, angels came and ministered to Him. We look through these parts of the temptation, but I want you to look at this piece. This is a huge piece. When you go through times of temptation and testing for you, because some of us don't know what God's going to call us to. Some of us do, but don't think you can just run right into it. There's going to be times of testing. How faithful are you going to be? Are you a starter but always a quitter? You start things but you can't finish things? You do well until somebody bites you, and then you get mad and you get upset and you run, you take your basketball and go home? This is not about that, because I'm telling you, in ministry, there's a lot of pain. I'm just going to be honest. There is a lot of hurt and pain in ministry. It's just the way it is, because we serve the Lord. We serve Jesus in a broken, sinful world. And it's ugly down here. And this is Satan's tromping grounds down here. But you know what? Greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. You've got to know those verses. But here's the awesome piece. God says, I know He's hungry. I know He is going through. He didn't go through some demon called Legion. He didn't go through any of these other ones. He didn't go through. He went. This was a testing. And the one that came down and did, the one that tested Him was Lucifer, the father of lies. You don't think God was watching this whole time? He was. Because when the devil fled, then angels came in. I don't know how many times I can tell you when some members in the church came and said some things that were not positive or very, very negative, or some of the things we've had to go through, some foggy times, we had to go through some hurtful times. I want to tell you, when you go through those and you are faithful with God, God is on the other side. When you get through that thick of the fog, when you get through there, there He is. Amen. And there's the blessing. There He is. And He ministers to us. And it wasn't that He left us when it started and He's not in the fog. No, it's in the fog where we got to stop, because it's not about the whole thing about turning stones into bread was about taking your focus off of the big thing and putting it on the little things. And you can't do that in ministry, because you'll fall apart. I struggled with that in the first few years. You cannot take your eye off the big thing, which is the Lord and what He's called you to do, and put your eyes on the little things, because the devil always pull you toward the little things, because they'll eat you up alive. So when you're going through that fog of time and you're not sure what's going on, you're going through it, and just say, stop for a moment. Maybe you're going through a time of testing. Maybe there's some things you just need to go through. When you're going through there, who are you? I am a believer in Christ. You can't get into complexity of it. You've got to be simple. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. God has called me in this direction. I don't know why this stuff is happening around me, but I'm going to stay focused, because He's called me to go through Not around, but going through. And when you go through that, you know, and you're like, I don't hear the Lord. I don't hear him. This is, oh, I do know. He said he'd never leave me, never forsake me. So no matter what my brain says, oh, I don't feel him. My heart says, oh, I'm emotionally a wreck. Where's he at? My spirit knows. His spirit tells me from the word that he says he'll never leave me, never forsake me. So there was not a moment when Jesus was in that time that he was alone. The Father was with him the whole time. Just like he is with you and I. But we get tempted to do these other things, to get sidetracked, to get off of the big picture onto the little things. Those little things will mess you up. But when we get through the end of that and we start seeing some light, because the sun comes up in the morning and you see there's a light and you step through it and you're finally through it, you're not alone. You're not alone. The Father's right there. And I believe the blessings are right there. I shared this before. There was a moment where I was really heartbroken here. We lost 18 people in 2 weeks. 18 people in 2 weeks. I don't understand. Nobody knew each other. I mean, they knew each other, but there were just all kinds of reasons that they left. And I called Bob this morning. He said, Bob, what the world's going on? Well, the guy you let preach turned around, he says some bad things in the pulpit, and the next thing you know, he's leaving the church or whatever. I said, what the world did I do? I put the wrong man. I'm pretty protective of the pulpit, too. And he did. He said some bad things. That really upset me. And so I'm going to grumble. I'm going to complain. I come back from just being gone for 2 days. I come back and I thought everything fell apart. And then I get a call from Bob the next morning, or the morning I called him. He said, well, and all the houses that we looked at for the women's shelter, nothing happened. They're all done. Again, we got to start over. And so I'm going to complain to God. That's what I'm going to do. So I just wrestle with God. I have my Jacob moment there. I'm wrestling with God, just wrestling over to the Lord. You called us to do this. You put this vision in my brain, in my heart, back in Atlanta in 2005. I know where the vision started. And all this stuff, Lord, where are you at? Where are you at? I'm in my desert here. I'm complaining to God. I'm not as, Jesus didn't complain. I was complaining to God. But I was at least complaining to the right person, right? I was complaining to the right one. I said, Lord, we lost 18 people. 2 weeks. Then I had to take a moment and say, wait a minute. I don't even be deserving what I'm doing. It's not his fault. So, you do. I had my Peter moment. I had to pray. And I began to pray, and my complaint stopped, and I began to just repent. Lord, I'm sorry. You have no right to hear my complaints. You never promised me a rose garden. You just called me to do something. And I'm expecting it to be smooth as ice. And I got a bump in it, and it's a nasty bump. Can't find a house. Lost 18 people. And one thing I've learned about losing people, they were never my people anyway. I've learned that lesson. They were never my people anyway. They're always his. He's the Father, not me. He takes care of them, not me. That's not my responsibility. But I complained. Then I got on my knees and I repented in my house. Oh, let me tell you, my house, nobody was there, but my house got loud. Pentecostal got a little bit up in me a little bit. I was loud. I was saying, come on, Lord. I was just spitting all over the place. And there came to the moment where I just had to stop. I was in the wrong. So I prayed and I shed a few tears. I said, Lord, you're God, not me. I'm going to tell you something. When I said, you're God, not me, I could feel his Holy Spirit just come around me. And you know what he was? He wasn't chastising me. He was loving on me. I don't understand, but he was loving on me. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have never said those things. I love those people. I'm not angry with those people, but I don't understand. And I apologized. And I shared a few tears with him. And then I got through the fog. The phone rang. And, of course, it was Mr. Bob on the phone again. This time he was calling me. I called him the first time. He says, we got a house. I'm like, what? I said, you said we didn't get a house. Yep, they just called and said, we got a house. I said, we don't have $30,000. No, they're going to take, I think it was $21,000 or $22,000. We had $23,000. I said, take it. And then guess what the next 45 hour was? me getting a little bit more Pentecostal in a different way. Father, I was just walking through the house. You are the awesomest God I've ever been. I've ever seen. You are just amazing. A time of testing happens to every believer. Who are you going to be when the chips look like they're all down? You're surrounded by the enemy. You're in the fort. They got their fiery darts. You either got to come out and surrender or they're going to burn the place down. We need to remember, we got one stronger than the enemy. I thought, the battle is not mine. It's the Lord's. So when I take control of the battle, I end up losing. But when I let him be the Lord, the warlord in my life, I end up winning. So who are you going? Are you going to keep turning stones into bread and keep doing it and feeding yourself for one meal and keep going out there struggling? Or are you going to let God be God in your life and take a little pain and suffering on the walk? But it's good for you. It's good for you. It strengthens you. Read the first chapter of James. It strengthens you. Perseverance. Because you know what? This is what I know in my walk with the Lord is. There's another one coming around the corner. And usually that's a little bit harder than the one you're on now. So you need this experience with the Lord to get you around that storm that's coming up over the horizon. Today it may be sunny, but there is a storm cloud brewing somewhere in your life. And here it is. Who are you going to run to? Who are you going to call out to? How are you going to handle it? Because I'm telling you, I know what it's like to handle it the wrong way. And it's a tragedy. But I know what it's like to do it the right way. A little bit of hurting, a little bit of pain, a little bit of suffering, but only lasts for a moment. And I know the sweetness of the blessing of the Lord. And there's nothing like it when God breathes on you. Nothing. And you know how you know when he's breathing on you? When he's so close to you, just like when you're so close to a person. Somebody got in my personal space today. And I could smell their breath. They had a mint or something. They got my personal space. And I think God wants to get in our personal space. But we keep pushing them out. When you let God get in your personal space, it gets real personal. And there's an awesomeness that only he has. You can't get it anywhere else. And you may be going through a time, but I'm telling you, what I know about being a Christian is, even when you're going through a storm, there's a peace that transcends everything you're going through, and it only comes from the Father. There's a love that nobody else is loving you, but you know there's a love that is faithful. And all your friends are not around, but there is a friend who is committed to the end. He's the same one that walked on the water. He's the same one that calmed the storm. He's the same one that got up on that cross for you and I. He's the same one that they buried, but they couldn't. Death couldn't hold him. He's the same one that rose. He's the same one today that's interceding for you and I because he went through this time of testing and he came out and he conquered it, him and the Father. And here it is. Who are we going to conquer in our life? Not just with us, not with us, but us with the Father, with Jesus. Some of you are walking through a desert right now in the wilderness. Each one of these was in a different place. One was in the wilderness. One was on the pinnacle. And one was on the highest of highest places. That tells me this. Satan can find you anywhere. He can take you anywhere. But here it is. You don't have to succumb to anything he offers you. He will offer you something he cannot provide. And if he does, it's hollow anyway. What are you doing in your time of decision? Some of you, I believe, are standing on a crossroads. You're not sure what you're doing. You're not sure what decisions to make. Stop. Stop thinking. What do you know? I am a Christian. I have Jesus as my Savior. The Father is on the throne. There sits Jesus. The Holy Spirit is inside of me. Lord, attest to me. What do I need to know? Focus. Focus. The problem's there. Okay, that you know. Put it aside for a moment. What else do you know? God is real. God is faithful. God is just. God is forgiving. God is merciful. I have a counselor. The question is always this. Satan says, if you are the Son of God, and I think he's said to some of us, if you are a Christian, if you are who you think you are in the Lord, Don't listen to that. What is truth? God never will lead you astray. He'll never lead you astray. He'll always keep you on the straight and narrow. They, if you've fallen off that straight and narrow, you're out in the wilderness and you know that there's some stones that in your own power, you could probably turn those into what you need to do to take care of something. There's a place that you want to go and you think you want to get this perfect job, but it's at the bar. Pays $5 more than what you're making now. You say, I can take care of my bills. Listen, that's not for a Christian. There's temptations that arise all over the place. You need to make it through. When you do, and you do it God's way, God comes and ministers to those in victory. I don't believe the angel would have came and ministered if Jesus turned those stones into bread, because Jesus already took care of the problem. But how sweeter it is when the Father comes and ministers. Amen? I don't know where you are today, but I'm telling you, I think a lot of us as believers are walking, not just walking away from the Lord, but we're taking little bitty steps in a different angle, just like this. And the farther we walk each week, we're getting further away. Starts with little bitty steps. God knows your problems. He knows your issues. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you an opportunity today. If you want to come and you want to pray, that would be a great thing. What is truth in your life? What is the one thing that is more true than anything else that you know?